Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
If you listen to this program regularly, you probably notice that we talk a lot about the environment, especially about the wildlife and natural areas that make our state so special. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today. We're very fortunate to have such a wealth of species that call Wisconsin home. And we also have some really talented Wisconsin authors who write about those state treasures. And one of those talented authors is Candace Andrews. She's on the show a couple times a year, usually. And she's on this time to talk about her wonderful book. It's titled Beyond the Trees, Stories of Wisconsin Forests. No, that's not it.
That's okay.
That's okay. That was a book.
Was a book, just a recent one, too, just a couple years ago.
Just a couple of years ago. And what I should have said was that was one of your recent books. And the book we're going to talk about today, which, believe it or not, I have read, is Travel Wild Wisconsin, A Seasonal Guide to Wildlife Encounters in Natural Places. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you. You're such a good writer. I love your books.
Thank you so much.
You know, and there's a simplicity to them in some respects. It looks like a simple book, guidebook in many ways, but you have so many interesting things and interesting ways in how you organize the book. First, you arrange it by season, and then within it by month. So why choose that?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting you brought that up. It's kind of a book that we had a little bit of trouble trying to categorize. You know, is it a travel book? Is it a history book? Is it just a literature book that you would sit in your armchair and read? It is a guidebook in many ways, and it is a seasonal guidebook in many ways because it is organized by season and when to see different animals. But without sounding like I'm creating a brand new genre, it is hard to fit it into any one category. It's also a travel book because it's not the typical guidebook in that it tells you where to go and where to stay or where to eat. But it does give you a sort of a calendar idea of when you can go out and have genuine encounters with wildlife. And by genuine, I mean there's not any zoos included. So it is where you go out into the wild or you find a place of real natural beauty, and I had three criteria for the book, and that was one of them: a place of natural beauty, animal that was native to the state that you could go out into this place of natural beauty and have a wildlife encounter with it. And then I wanted it to be includes an active verb, something that you could do to go out and see these animals. So you'll notice that the chapters all start with active words like spotting, counting, touching, yep, watching, or tracking.
I like that, and you focus on experiences that are shaped and helped by the you interview some very interesting people who are
right
connected with the topics.
Right. I talk to a lot of people. I mean, I talk to volunteers. I talk to paid professionals. I talk to biologists and citizen scientists and people who just will volunteer at things like wildlife festivals because they love that particular animal. So there's a wide variety of people who told me their stories, and I'm lucky that they're willing to share them.
Really, and that really makes, to me, that really kind of makes each chapter
special. Yeah, I think so. I think anytime you're writing about conservation or the environment or wildlife, you're really telling the stories of the people that are involved with those animals and those places and why they love them and why they do the work that they do. So, you know, I really think every story, whether you're writing, about nature, or you're writing about science, or you're writing about animals, it comes down to the people.
Absolutely. And I would like to give our listeners a chance to join in. I haven't done that yet. So let me do that now. What encounters have you had with our Wisconsin wildlife? Incredible encounters. We're going to be hearing some of Candace's incredible encounters. What about you? Have you participated in a wildlife field trip, perhaps, or organized event that you'd recommend? We'd love to hear from you. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question or a photo on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and certainly we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call or shoot us an email or go on our Facebook page and let us know what's on your mind. Well, let's dig into the book a little bit. I thought we might start with summer. Because
okay.
We had summer coming. We're in summer.
We're in summer.
Just started. You start off with what many folks in Wisconsin would consider one of the most ubiquitous species, white-tailed deer. And I, you know, Judith and I were talking about this, and we thought, a chapter on white-tailed deer. But you know what? It's really interesting.
Well, that's good to hear.
Oh, man. Why should we be making an effort to see them?
Yeah, it's kind of like with Canada geese. You know, you think, you know, we've got certain animals, you know, in our backyards, and they're all over the place. And why do we need to go out and seek an encounter? And I think it's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of the place. It's a matter of just sort of appreciating the history that they have here in the state. And what's interesting about the deer is there is a place, and it's called the Sandhill Wildlife Area in Babcock, where you can either just sit in your car and take this 14-mile route through this enclosed space, but it's a 9,000-acre enclosure, so it's a huge space, and they have a deer herd inside there. Now, the deer don't know that they're enclosed because it is so big, but even if you, your car acts as a great blind, so you really don't even have to get out and hike, and you certainly can, but going through that sandhill area is just incredible. You can see this deer herd. You often see them, you know, at the edges browsing at certain times of day. Mm-hmm. And it's a totally natural place. There's so many beautiful spots that you can get out and hike. So it's quite different than just seeing, you know, a deer along the side of the road.
And I like how you did a little history of the Sandhill area, too, of the Sandhill
Right. As we talked about it, you know, this book has a lot of history of the animals. It has a history of the place in it. And Sandhill has an incredible history about how it came into the hands of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And I think I'll let you read that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating story. Liz in Viroqua, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Well, I had an encounter with a mink on my 80-acre property here near Viroqua. I have glass doors, and I looked out, and I thought, well, there's a huge weasel with a mink coat on.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, duh, it's probably a mink. And since I live close to the West Fork of the Kickapoo River, in fact, that's what it was. So I use my own house as a blind.
Ah, well, it's location, 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 though,
exactly.
For you, Liz.
Exactly. In the Driftless area, I mean, we've got all this stuff out here. Thanks so much for the show, and I'm going to go right out and buy this book.
Ah, all right. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, I had an encounter with a mink. I guess I've never had one. May have seen one in the wild, but Liz has, and thanks for that story. Anna in Onalaska, hello.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We had an interesting experience hiking. We saw a deer so close, 4 or 5 feet away, and I appreciate the idea that it is important to see these creatures, even though there's a lot of them. We live in an amazing region where there are many. And up in Lake Holcomb, my dad trumped my story that he saw a bear while bike riding. I don't think I'd want his story.
So a deer and bear on the same. Yeah, well, the bear, yeah, usually they'll run the other way.
Right.
Yep. He wasn't too frightened, so he just watched for a while and rode on by. Thank you for the program.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. If you got a question, you can do that too. And she mentioned deer. We had an encounter this weekend. My daughter and I were at a farm in the Hanover area, southern Wisconsin, and a fawn, still with its spots, had gotten caught in a fenced-in area with some netting over the top of it, and it couldn't get out. So we had to kind of safely get the little fawn out of there. So that was a fun experience to see. A fawn with the spot still on.
Right, right. That's this time of year. That's what's, it's kind of nice to go out at this time of year, too, and try to see them, because often they do have those little fawns with them.
Yeah, and as Scott Craven says, we go from about the middle of May, we go from the lowest amount of deer in the state to the highest in about a three-week period.
Right, right.
Really,
yeah.
They're all born at the same time. Lynn in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Lynn. Lynn, are you there?
I was out on the just north of Hampton.
The Milwaukee River?
Yes. And pulled up next to one of the little islands in the middle, and I heard something move. I looked up, and an otter was walking off the bank into the river, and it swam up, and it wasn't real close, but you know, 5-6 feet away, and he kind of looked at me and looked over the kayak and swam off. I've never been.
Oh, blast it! We lost you, Lynn. I'm sorry. So there's an encounter with an otter. And Alice, and I'm again, Lynn, I'm sorry we couldn't hang on to you there. Alice in Maple has another interesting sighting. Hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that, I live up in northern Douglas County, and I kayak a lot out on the Apostles and sea otters and deer, you know, like... domesticated almost up here. There's so many of them. But
right.
One of my favorite things was seeing a wolf when I was out skiing in the woods. And there's a big, black, beautiful wolf. And I know I can't go off on a tangent about the hunt, but I'm on my way to a fight that the DNR wants to kill 50% of them this hunting season.
Yeah. Well, they are a beauty. I've had a chance to see one wolf in the wild, too, and it is quite an incredible experience to see them up fairly close. You can tell the difference between a wolf and a coyote pretty easily, especially a big one. So that's great, Alice. Thanks for calling and talking about that. Jim in Cornucopia has a comment too. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for calling. What have you got for us today?
Well, we were talking, my friends and my family, how we've never met anyone who has seen a badger. And 2 days later, I was out on the deck in Cornucopia on Little Siskiwood Lake, and a badger walked up to me. And I called my wife, and that scared him, and he turned around and scurried off into the woods. It was quite exciting, very exciting.
Well, you are lucky, because that was in broad daylight?
Yes, about 5 or 6 p.m.,
yeah, that's very cool, because they are, Candace, as you know, they're nighttime movers around, movers and shakers, and that's why we don't see them. There are badgers, I think, in probably every county in the state, or almost every county in the state. There are actually quite a few of them in our state, but we don't see them because they typically don't run around in the daytime. They're usually running
right.
around.
Right, It was very unusual. It was right after I saw 3 hooded mergansers, which was also exciting.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful birds, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. And again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Talking today with Candace Andrews, who's the author of Travel Wild Wisconsin, a seasonal guide to wildlife encounters in natural places. She's got some good ones in her book, and we'll be talking some more with her here as we move along. Join in, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having some fun today talking about a new book out, Travel Wild Wisconsin, a seasonal guide to wildlife encounters in natural places. Our guest, the author, Candace Andrews. You may have a question or comment or experience to share. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We mentioned deer as one chapter. Before we go back to the phones here, mentioned deer in one chapter. And in another summertime chapter, you talk about monarch butterflies.
Right. It's just a great time to to go out and tag these butterflies, which is something I didn't know you could do before I wrote this book. You can purchase tagging kits from monarchwatch.org and actually go out and tag butterflies, which sounds really hard, but it's not. And you can follow their migration all the way down to Mexico with the tagging kit, and you get a number. And when that butterfly is recovered, you can find out where it went. So it was kind of exciting, and I actually did that experience of tagging butterflies. So it's another chapter in the book, but it's really fun. But I think all your callers are really pointing out, and I'm fascinated by their stories, that in Wisconsin there are so many, I mean, we have so many wild animals. And
yeah.
And the reason this, I'm glad you mentioned Beyond the Trees, because this book sort of grew out of that. And when I was researching that book, I'd gone up to the Shawamigan Forest, and an elk had walked by my car, and I thought, wow, we have some great wildlife here in Wisconsin. And in addition to writing books, I also write for some eco tour companies and the World Wildlife Fund. And I was thinking that, you know, we have as many and just every bit as great wildlife here in the state as any other state or any other country even. And I thought, wow, if we just had a book that would tell us how to have encounters with those animals, that would be really something. So that's kind of how it grew out. So I'm thrilled to hear all these stories of people who actually, you know, like one lady said, sometimes your house is a good blind. So we're very lucky. Yeah, your car is fantastic. We're very lucky here in Wisconsin.
Ann in Delafield. Hi.
Hi. You know, it is amazing that even Waukesha County, that's so built up, has phenomenal wildlife, aside from deer, where you see them all over. But my family has several cottages on a little lake near Mequonago, and we had for a number of years a fox that lived under the cottage. And at sunrise, you could lift your head off the pillow and see him sitting on our deck, kind of like scanning the horizon, just looking to get what he was going to do for the day. It was just inspiring.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that story.
He was actually quite tame. He would not run away.
Well, you probably didn't shoot at him.
Or you did something
throw things at him, which case
really
he would have. Thanks, Ann.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Well, you don't have fox in your book.
I don't. I don't, but I do have fox where I live, too. So
yep.
So they are great.
And Evelyn in Sheboygan. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You don't have to be out in the country to see wildlife, either. I live in the middle of Sheboygan, and there is a bike walking trail along the Sheboygan River near where I live. And I usually walk it every morning. Well, I'm walking this one particular area, and I know there's a muskrat living there because I have seen him before. But at any rate, I'm walking this area, and there's a red-winged blackbird that attacks me every morning. So I'm concerned about this red-winged blackbird and trying to watch out for him. And suddenly the muskrat runs directly in front of me, and at the same time, a duck flies out of the bushes with the wings flapping. I just about flew out of my skin.
You should have had a photo of that.
Oh,
which
man.
I did. I think I jumped a foot in the air.
That's a great story.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you get your heart pumping a little bit in the morning. That's a good way to go. John in Milton. Hi, thanks for calling. Let's see if we get you on here. Hi, John.
Hi. I had an encounter. My mother lives in Mantuish Waters, and I had an encounter with an ermine up there, right out her back window or side window into the woods. And it would come almost every day, and it would feed on her suet feeder, and it was real entertaining to watch it pop up to the snow and jump to it and get it, and it would take it down and bury it and everything. It was a lot of fun to watch.
And that little black tip right on the tip of the tail.
Yep, there were two of them, and one had a darker tip and one had more of a grayish tip.
Oh.
Wow.
Did you get some photos, John?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of photos of it. It was just beautiful to see. She has a lot of wildlife up there, but that was really a different thing to see.
Yeah.
It certainly is. Wow.
If you have a chance, post one of those photos up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to see one. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. We have many callers here online. Let's go to Eric in Eau Claire next. Eric, hi.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
I'm the I'm the director at Beaver Creek Reserve, and our mission is connecting people with nature, and this is a great topic and sounds like a great book. I look forward to reading it. But I wanted the listenership to know that our butterfly house opens July 5th. You don't have to have acreage or a place along the river to see wildlife, and there's tons of nature centers throughout Wisconsin that are a great resource. And we actually raise over 1,000 monarchs and take 100 of them at the end of the season for their migration to Mexico.
Oh, so, fantastic.
Yeah,
oh, great.
Another resource for people to come see nature and connect with it.
So the Beaver Creek Reserve, and it's right out of Eau Claire.
Yep, it's 10 miles east of Eau Claire and 4 miles north of Fall Creek.
Right, I believe I visited there. Yeah, it's a great place.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. And actually, you have in your book, Candy, you visit many of these reserves or areas, wildlife areas that are really fascinating.
Right. There's, like I said, I tried to include, well, with each animal, you know, a place of natural beauty where you could go to encounter that animal. And there's all kinds of wildlife areas and grasslands, even Lake Winnebago. We have the national refuges, even environmental centers. So all kinds of different venues.
Let's and Eric, thanks again. Appreciate it. And on to Judy in Dousman. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I have a turkey story. We have male turkeys that hang out in the yard just about all day long. They lay around, groom themselves, and there is also a deer that lays in the, when we rake the leaves, we pile it over into the woods, and she just lays there, and she chums with the deer, and there's also a feral cat that once in a while will come in the morning for food and sits under the trailer, and the deer is just fascinated with that cat, and when the cat's gone, the turkey will squat down and crawl under the trailer and clean out the dish of food.
Oh,
again,
man.
You've got kind of a little world of wildlife there, right?
Yeah, thanks, Judy. Yeah, great
okay.
Story. Great stories there. So turkeys, I remember a friend of mine watching some deer and turkeys that were kind of in the same valley, and he was looking down in the valley at them, and one of the young deer would sneak up on a turkey and just kind of run at it a little bit, and then it would run away. He said they were playing all afternoon. Randy and Madison, hello.
Good morning. What a great show.
Thanks.
So I have a house in downtown Madison on the corner of First and Johnson. And I was showing it to some renters one day, and they came out of the house, and all of a sudden they started getting real excited. And so I came out to see what they were looking at, and here, right down on Johnson Street in Madison, there was a hen turkey.
Oh, yeah.
And and then the other one was, I saw a fisher up in Bayfield County. At least I'm pretty sure it was a fisher. And I was driving on a gravel road, and he just sort of jumped across the road, and they have such a high arched back when they're running along, they look like they're real slow and real cumbersome. And I jumped out of the car and tried to chase it, and believe me, they're way faster than they look.
Fishers have a lot of fans. I've talked to a lot of people who just like to go into the woods and sit and wait for the fishers and see if they can spot them.
It's the first time I'd ever seen one, and they're really magnificent.
Right. Yep,
they're wonderful to see. I've seen one in the wild, too, and they're quite a sight. Thank you very much, Randy.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. And we're just looking at our Facebook page now at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We've got photos of both elk sightings and monarch butterfly tagging. So if you want to see the tags and how they're done, That's
great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And the elk, I'll find the elk in a minute. We'll go back to the phones here. And Jeff in La Crosse. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I'd just like to mention we were up at the Namekagon River for a week and saw a couple bears coming down. Well, one coming down a tree, one running away.
Oh, my gosh.
Eagles trying to get in.
Oh,
I love the Namekagon Barrens.
Yeah, Jeff in La Crosse, I'm sorry we lost you. What do you like about the barrens up there?
Oh, you know, I there's a chapter on the book in it, and it's about sharp-tailed grouse. And I went up there, and I sat in a blind, and I watched the grouse dance, which is pretty unusual. I didn't know these birds put on such a show. But the barrens themselves are fascinating. You don't find them on posters, you know, you do oceans and forests and rivers. And so they really need people to love them there. And I call them the land in between because they're really not grasslands and they're not forests, that's for sure. And they're kind of that land that nobody knows really how to describe. And so I find them, you know, very beautiful and very unusual.
Jeff, thanks again. I want to go to Ted in Greenville next. Ted, hello.
Hi. I've had a number of wolf encounters up north. I've got a place up north of Eagle River. And last bow hunting season, I usually go back into Nicolet, up close to the UP-Wisconsin border. And I went down into a swamp area that I like to hunt. And I was just sitting there in the swamp, and it got to be about 9 o'clock in the morning. I'd been sitting for a couple hours, and nothing showed up, and I was kind of wondering if the deer had kind of left the area. But I heard a little crack behind me, and I just slowly turned my head and was staring at a wolf about 10 yards.
Big wolf. Oh, my gosh.
And about three more came around the back of them and around front of me.
So
I was surrounded by wolves, and I thought to myself, well, you don't get up and run away from these things. I grabbed my two arrows, stood up, and walked towards them. And they looked at me for a second. Their tails went down, and boom, off they went.
Yeah.
But you know, I get your blood going early in the morning like that. But that explained why there were no deer around.
Yeah, that would definitely explain why there wouldn't be any deer in that immediate vicinity.
Oh my gosh!
Great story, Ted. Yeah. Thank you. A friend of mine hunting deer was walking out in the evening and felt like something is following me. And he looked around. There were a couple of wolves right behind him.
Oh,
and then there
gosh.
Were one on either side of him. And they looked like they were going to be no problem. But just to be sure, I think he put a bullet in a tree.
Oh, okay.
Not at a wolf. No, he wasn't going to shoot. Wasn't going to shoot at a wolf, but he did manage to get them out of there in a hurry. Jeff in Columbus, hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Great, appreciate the call.
Yeah, I work, you know, cover about 90% of Wisconsin. I travel a lot, so I was up in Merrill, just west of there, out in the woods there, and I was going down a gravel road, and I saw a little animal on the road, looked like a fox. So I get close, and it takes off, and right as it takes off, a wolf comes jumping out of the woods after it.
Oh, my gosh.
And now, yeah, so I had to get out of the car about a couple miles down the road. I was a little, you know, weary of doing that, so I didn't know where he could have been. So,
yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool. And I saw an albino deer, you know, just about north towards Monaco area as well. So
you've had some good experiences. And a wolf chasing a fox is interesting. I mean, wolves are... They definitely don't get along with coyote or fox or pretty much any of the other dog-like or wolf-like animals. They want them out and gone and away. Thanks,
yeah,
Jeff.
So it was interesting. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Jerry in Hayward. Hello.
Hello, yes. I guess I just love watching nature, but just this weekend I'm sitting on the screen porch watching a pair of loons, and all of a sudden an eagle came down after them. And they would scream, just a blood-curdling. I never heard of that loon call before, and they would dive. They would come back up, scream again, and that eagle was constantly hovering. I guess a question along with that is, was that eagle actually going to try to eat it, get the loon, or was it just harassing?
No, I would try to get the loon.
Okay, I kind of what we thought. Yeah, it was just a neat. Like it went on for 2 or 3 minutes.
There was a listener phoned in one day to talk about two eagles that working in tandem after a loon.
Oh, wow.
Actually, they would, one would dive, or one would go in, and then the loon would go down. But when it came up, the the other one would try to be right there.
Or maybe they were competing for the loon.
Well, yeah, they might have been. I think they were probably working together. Thanks, Jer. Appreciate it. And Gloria in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I actually saw Badger in Madison on Monroe Street.
On Monroe Street.
I was in a parking lot, and I saw these kids chasing something. And I looked, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that's a badger. So I ran over to their mothers and said, I wouldn't do that. Because, you know, I think if you corner a badger, it wouldn't be very friendly.
Oh, they are very, they can be very nasty. And it wasn't one with a football helmet on and red shoulder badge. You're in Monroe Street. You're right there with that badger country.
But, you know, I have a question about it because it seemed to be, do badgers kind of walk mostly on their front paws, or it seemed to be kind of dragging its back legs, and I wondered if it had been injured or if they kind of tend to walk that way where they kind of rely more on their front paws than their rear.
Huh. That I don't know, but I suspect, I mean, in the city like this, it very well could have been injured.
I don't recall ever seeing a badger that way.
Strange.
And I've watched, you know, there's a badger at the Vilas Park Zoo, for example, and I've watched that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't observed dragging back. So it might have been hit by a car or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I had one other interesting sighting a couple of weeks ago. I was over on near Old Sauk, and I saw four turkeys. You know, and they make a lot of noise.
They are moving in.
And I looked around. I was on my bike. I looked around, and I chased them a little bit to get a picture. But they were just walking, you know, on the driveways and people's yards and stuff. But there were four of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you, Gloria. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And by the way, you can read about some really good encounters in Candace's book. Candace, just where do you tell us all the variety of encounters that you have in your book?
Yeah. Boy, you know, these callers are
so
just inspiring me. I think there's enough for, you know, 16 more chapters here. But it does point out that we're so lucky here in the state that, we can just go outside our door and you practically run into, you know, some kind of interesting encounter. I've watched we talked about the sharp-tailed grouse I saw in a blind. I also went to the Buena Vista Wildlife Area, the grasslands in Bancroft, and watched the prairie chickens do their dance, which is a little bit different bird. Fish, you know, you never think about fish too much, but the sturgeon up in Shawano, who come to spawn, is they just make if you go under the dam there, the lake looks like it's just boiling because of all the sturgeon that are there. We talked about the deer and the loons, the butterflies, you know, the elk, always a fantastic, you know, when you see one of those majestic animals going by. Sandhill cranes, you know, one of the most common cranes we have here in Wisconsin, you know, and contrast that with trying to see the whooping cranes, which is one of the rarest cranes. And in Wisconsin is one of the very few places anywhere where you can actually see them in the wild. So that's pretty fascinating.
We have Dana in Madison with a comment. Hi, Dana.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Good. I had the opportunity yesterday to go kayaking at Mirror Lake near the Dells. And I was over in a very shallow part of the lake near the highway. And I was just kind of sitting watching a blue heron. I think it was a blue heron. It was a heron. I know that. And being very quiet, and I happened to look over, and I realized that I was sitting very near a beaver dam, and there was a beaver cleaning himself, and so I was completely transfixed, and then I look up, and I see my very first sighting of a bald eagle all at the same time.
Ah!
Yeah, I was kind of, I got goosebumps, and I just sat still for probably about 5 or 10 minutes just observing all of it that I could see. And so it was probably a highlight of at least my summer. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dana.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's funny.
And kayaking, I don't know, do you kayak a lot?
I have, yeah, I do somewhat.
I like it because that very reason that Dana pointed out, somehow you're less obtrusive or whatever when you're in a kayak and you can get close to things that you might not normally be able to get close to. And
right, right. It's great for photos, too, because you're sitting right at water level. So yep. It's fantastic.
Jim in Delafield, thank you for calling. Hi.
I wanted to talk about the recent, some years ago, I saw an albino deer born north of Boulder Junction at a private club.
Oh.
And there were two. There was one natural colored and one albino. And the mother led the deer away. The natural colored deer stood up and walked after the mother. That albino was too weak to get up. And it was an interesting thing. She wouldn't leave, but she never got closer than 40 or 50 yards. Huh. The albino trying to coax the little devil away with her. And it took about a day, and the people at the resort took care of the albino and sheltered it until such time as the mother was able to get it to walk.
Oh.
Interesting, really.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, really interesting. Thank you,
yeah.
Jim. Who's going to, boy, not many people get to see that.
No.
Lynn commented on Facebook about a couple of years ago while on a walk about a mile from their house in Dodge County, they saw two young weasels playing on a bent fence post. They were taking turns sliding down the post and running around doing it again, just like kids do in a playground. Getting toward dusk when another weasel poked its head up and chittered something, the two young ones went running off. Obviously, Mom had said it was time to come in. And it's about time for us to part ways here. Candy, again, your book, are you going to be out? Are you going to be doing some appearances at all? Signings?
I've done a couple. There will be a couple more, and you can look at my website for that.
And what's your website?
www.candiceandrews.com.
CandiceAndrews.com. And the book, Travel Wild Wisconsin, A Seasonal Guide to Wildlife Encounters in Natural Places. Really a lot of fun to read. It really makes you appreciate your state, doesn't it? When we hear all of the great stories.
Sure does.
Yeah, there's so many interesting creatures out there. Coming up next, we'll talk with two of the most interesting critters Wisconsin has to offer, the weather guys. So I hope you'll stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.